We're going to move in a little different direction than I've been going this summer. And part of it is simply a couple of passages that seem to have bubbled to the surface of the last 2 months, 2.5 months, and passages that have kind of, for one reason or another, kind of, become close to my heart. And passages that I sometimes think we either take for granted, we forget about. I'm not sure what we do with them. But I thought, I want to wrestle with them a little bit and think about them as we move towards starting a new year. And the first one comes to us from the book of Romans, chapter 5. And it's verses 6 through 8. 6 through 8. Where it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of God. Timing is really an important thing. As you look at life, timing seems to be all over the place. When I thought about it, I think about sports often. And so much of sports is timing. Whether it be when a player is going to run a certain pattern and there's a timing pattern. Whether it be something about maybe gymnastics or rhythmic gymnastics, where there's timing so people are in the same place at the same time. Timing is important. The same would be true about music. As we sing together, as we listen to music, timing is so important. That's why there are measures. That's why things have rest. That's why it's called timing within music. Or whether it be cooking. There's always that way of how is it that we time our cooking. Timing is so important, even in our maybe dating and our love life and meeting that person that we spend the rest of our life with or even spend a little bit of time with. Timing is so important. In this passage, it begins so clearly at just the right time. When we look at our lives and we look at where we're at with Christ, timing is hugely important. Hugely important. It's been said that there is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Because if you look at the timing of being in a foxhole in the middle of a military movement, it seems like faith is so very important. You find very few people who have no faith when it comes to losing loved ones. You find people throughout life that at the right time seem to find some relationship with an almighty power. And when we read this passage, it's clear that God says, at the right time. And I wonder if you and I have experienced that time. Because I believe clearly it states in this passage what that time is. And it says, when we were still powerless. And this is really the scary part in my mind of this passage. Because if I look at my life, I wonder if I really have ever been powerless. I may have felt weak, I may have felt alone, but have I ever felt powerless? And yet it's a key piece of this experience of meeting Christ, and knowing God. And it says clearly, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, we don't like to be powerless. We don't like to be put in a position where we are not in control. It is very contrary to our way of living, especially, again, in Western culture. We have the means, we have the tools, we have the resources to conquer and accomplish anything that we want. As we have heard throughout history, we have put a man on the moon. We can do anything. And yet this passage says, at just the right time, when it was perfect timing, when we were powerless, Christ died for us. And I've got to ask myself the question, have I ever said, I can't do it, Lord? I need you in my life. I mean, let's be honest. We've heard people give their testimony. And we've seen those pennies that are less than shiny share their faith. And they've talked about drug addiction, and they've talked about pornography addiction, and they've talked about losing loved ones and family members, and then they pull it all together and they talk about how Jesus changed their life. And we look there and we say, oh, that's really nice. But that's not my experience. They were powerless. They were crushed. They were lost. And at that moment, Christ changed their life. And I wonder, how about us? Have we really met the Jesus that Paul speaks of here in Romans? Because very clearly it says, when the time was right, when they were still powerless, he died for them. And I just wonder this morning whether or not we're holding on way too much to our power and to our might and to our plans and to our ways and to our resources and to our strength and to our timing and our plans rather than surrendering to a living God, rather than giving up and letting go, and letting the power of God live within us because Christ died for us at that powerless moment. And we don't like it. I would guess that 8 out of 10 of you right now are going, I don't want to give up control. I don't want to think about hitting rock bottom. I don't want to think about being powerless. I'm okay. And yet it says clearly, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for us. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. And where the rub really gets to is that word ungodly. Ungodly. And then it says, you know, rarely is somebody going to die for a righteous person. Maybe somebody would die for a good person. But God sent his Son and demonstrated his own life for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's the other piece of the equation, folks. Not only do we not like being powerless, not only do we not like giving up control to God, but let's face it, you and I are not ungodly. Right? I mean, let's be honest. We're really good people. We're really nice people. You know, we're pretty good-looking people, all right? We've got it together. We are not ungodly. And especially where it says, hey, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We're not sinners. I mean, we may do a few things wrong, but we are not sinners. And you see, that's what I've wrestled with for so long in this passage is our inability to identify with the fact that we are ungodly sinners, that we are people who are lost, that we are people who are powerless, that we are people who are broken, that we are people that are hurting, that we are people who need Jesus in our lives, and yet we resist because we don't want to identify with the ungodly. We don't want to identify with being a sinner. We don't want to identify with not being in control. And yet this passage so beautifully puts it at just the right time. When we have lost control and are powerless, when we are at one of our most ungodly moments, when we realize how broken and sinful we are, Jesus came and died for us. Think about it. It doesn't say that at just the right time, when we finally got it all together, when we looked the best that we can look, when our life was in complete order and complete control, when we were successful, Jesus said, "I'm coming for you." So often that's the way we live. So often that's the way that we evangelize. We want to bring people into our church and into our fellowship, but they've got to have all the right answers already. They've got to wear the right clothes already. They've got to have the right vocabulary. They've got to know the traditions. And guess what, folks? It's not what it says. At just the right time, when we were powerless, God sent Christ for the ungodly and for the sinners. And if you didn't notice, I did. Remember, it's the Apostle Paul. Remember, it's someone who hated the Christian family for so long and then had that life-changing experience and is a rock of the church and of, again, the mission world at the time. And the way that he writes, "While you were still sinners, Christ died for you." What does he write? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. This passage is a beautiful passage. And why we don't hold on to it more really makes me wonder about whether or not we understand the grace that God has given us, the love that God has given us, and the love that we are called to share. Because we are all ungodly. Because we are all sinners. Because we are all dirty, dark, rusty, corroded, nasty-looking pennies. And yet at just the right time, when we were most corrupted and powerless, God sent his Son while we were yet sinners to die for us. He saw us as beautiful, shiny pennies. He saw us as the most gorgeous thing ever, his creation, his children, and he sent his Son so that our lives might be changed, not by our power, not by our might, but by God's power. And God's love, and God's grace. One man's junk, one person's junk, is another man's treasure. We are a treasure. But we are a sinful, ungodly, way too prideful group of people who need to humble ourselves and let the love of God change us. funny, when we walked in this morning prior to worship, all the elders and the deacons were together doing what we do, which is very focused and very prayerful time in my office. I was talking about hail damage on my house, but anyway, all right? And we were talking about what was going on, and we were talking about the neighborhood, and one elder said to one other elder who happens to live next door to me, you know, "You poor, poor man, you have to live next to the pastor," you know? And when I was thinking about that, I thought about a little story. And the story has really nothing to do with Mark. It has more to do with Carrie. And the fact that every now and then, you all know that I have a garage sale issue in my life. I love to go garage sailing. But I also love picking stuff out of the garbage. I really do. If you know there's any good garbage out there, call me. I'll go through it, all right? And one day, I was doing this thing with a friend of mine, and in comes this yellow chair. And it's this 60s kind of yellow with all these little brass tacks, and it's like Naugahyde, you know? You know, that sort of plastic, sort of leather thing, you know? This person comes up and takes it out of their car, and they're going to throw it in the dump. And I looked at it, and my first thought was, Carrie Betts. And so I took it home, and I washed it because it was a little bit cruddy and gross, all right? And I said, "Carrie, I got something for you." And as everybody does, she rolled her eyes. "Yeah, well, you know." I picked it out of the garbage. Oh, yeah. "Carrie, you love my chair, don't you?" "Yes. One man's junk, another woman's treasure." And God looks at us with the possibilities in place. God looks at us with a future. God looks at us at what could be. But it starts with us admitting that we're sinners, that we're ungodly, that we're powerless. And it's only through the power and the grace and the love of Jesus that our lives are transformed. And all of a sudden, we're made in a new creation that is treasured by God. So this morning, if you think you've got all the answers, if you think you've got your life planned, if you think you've got it all under control, I really feel sorry for you, because you don't need God. And you don't need Jesus. But if you understand that while we were yet sinners, He died for us, then your life can begin to be transformed into something new and beautiful and amazing that we can only imagine. One man's junk is really God's beautiful treasure in each of us. Amen.